And I'd like to go to my message. My scripture reading is in Zechariah. That's toward the last part of the Old Testament. Zechariah 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fights on the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. In that day there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. For it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it will come about that at evening time there will be light. And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and the other half toward the western sea. It will be summer. It will be in summer as well as in winter. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these scriptures that lets us know of the day in which you will be king over all the earth. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will guide our steps and let them ever be towards you. Guide our thoughts and help them to help us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. My text is the first three verses of the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. What do you think about those words? Those words describes a futuristic event, one that has never happened before, one that will be unlike any day that there's ever been on the earth, one in which the sun and the moon will be affected, will not be as usual. This will be a memorable day. This will be a day in which, after the sun goes down and we normally have darkness, there will be light on that day. This is the day that's spoken of in all of your scripture, Old Testament and New, a day that is looked forward to by all who knows the Word. A day the followers of Jesus Christ wondered about. When will be the day of your coming? The disciples asked Jesus Christ. And what will be signs of that day? This is the day spoken of in scriptures as the day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. We might also wonder, when we speak of days like this, some people would ask, is there a tomorrow? Are we going to reach a point in time in which there won't be a tomorrow? No, there will be a tomorrow for God's people. There will be forever and ever to be with the Lord if you are a child of God. God promises eternal life to all of you who open your heart and your mind to Him and to hold on to Him to the rest of your life. There is a tomorrow. The day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, at which He will be King over all the earth. His will go forth. His way will be taught. And the expectations of all the people on this earth will be to do what Jesus commands. Should it be a day of fear and dread when Jesus comes back to this earth? Are there going to be ones that will be fearful and dreading that day? Yes, there will be ones that will be hiding themselves in the rocks and crevices, trying to shield themselves from the coming of Almighty God, Jesus Christ. The Word lets us know there will be fear prevalent in that day, but it should not be from you. Those who are ready, those who are looking for His appearing, have nothing to fear or dread. We should look up on it with thanksgiving, with joy, because it ushers in the next phase of our life, which is to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. It should be a joyful occasion to us. We should look forward to it. We should expect it. We should be watchful, as Jesus commanded us. The day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, is imminent. It's going to happen. It's a sure thing. There is no doubt. Let's go to Joel 1 and 15. Joel 1 and 15. Alas for the day, For the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. Let's go to Joel 2 and 1. Blow a trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. Descriptions of the day. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like it. Listen to those words. That day of the Lord. There has never been anything like it, nor will there be again after it to the years of many generations. Now skip down to verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a libation for the Lord your God. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priest, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. And do not make thine inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the peoples say, where is their God? That's the day of the Lord. That's my message to you this morning. The day of the Lord. Let's look at some of the scriptures that lets us know what of the days before the day of the Lord? Let's go to Malachi 4 and verse 5. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's going to happen before the great day. God sends Elijah. He's one of the two witnesses that is spoken of in the last days. At the end of the tribulation period of 7 years, the first 3.5 years being relatively peaceful, a lot of people are going to be deceived by things going on in that particular time period. The first 3.5 will deceive. I'd say a lot will fall away from their belief in God, from their reliance on God, from their trust in God. People are going to be deceived and they are going to follow a false doctrine, a false prophet during the first 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years is going to be, to put it lightly, horrific. Unbelievably bad. But you know what? God is in control. It's part of His plan. We have nothing to fear. We have everything to look forward to. But we need to know about things coming on this earth. And we need to know about the day of the Lord and the things that happened before that, during that, after that. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 29. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Now this gives you a time frame. We're speaking of things that happened before Jesus comes to this earth the second time. Contrary to what many would teach, we are not going to be whisked away. Before the tribulation period. If you are alive, Jesus Christ has not come. You will be going through the tribulation period. But God will be with you. He will be keeping you. He will be protecting you. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, does that not make it clear enough? Not before the tribulation, after the tribulation. Of those days, the sun will be darkened. And the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. You think that's going to catch anybody's attention? And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Do you see? Then we will see about the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. When? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet. You know what? I think it's going to be the seventh trumpet that's spoken of in Revelation. The last trumpet. And He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the others. I'd say there's a reaping of the harvest going on. I'd say there's going to be a separation of the sheep from the goats. And you want to be holding on to the hand of Almighty God. Let's go to Joel 2 and verse 30. Going back and forth from the Old Testament to the New, we're speaking of the great day of the Lord and the things that happen before and during and at and after. And I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. We're giving more than one scripture where the same descriptions are given of what happens to the sun, what happens to the moon and when it happens. Let's go to Acts 2 and 20. New Testament, Acts 2 and 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. Now we've looked at things before the day of the Lord. Let's look at a few scriptures that says in that day of the Lord. Zechariah 9 and 16. And the Lord their God will save them in that day, as the flock of his people, for they are as the stones of a crown, sparkling in his land. The Lord will save. The Lord still will have his hand outstretched to the ones that will open to him. He will still save. He will be delivering. Let's go to, skip down to chapter 12 and start with verse 1. Chapter 12 of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. How did we all get here? How did all that we see and know get here? It got here by the word of God. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. And it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Boy, that really makes you think there. Does that mean the United States will be one of those nations that will be there at Jerusalem, gathered together to fight against God's people? That's something to really think about. It says all the nations of the earth will be gathered there. And we know that they will be gathered there to fight against God's people. We better pray to God that it's not somehow our country that is deceived into being there and in essence fighting against God. If you fight against his people, you fight against him. Let's pray to God that it will not be the United States of America. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness. But I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. God has done that in the past. He's bewildered people that come up against his people. He's caused confusion in order to allow his people the victory. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen on that great day of the Lord. God is going to fight for his people at that time. And whether there's armies, whether there are tanks, airplanes, I'd say a lot of electronics is going to go haywire on that day. A lot of guided missiles, bombs that were intended to be against certain strategic places It's not going to happen. God is going to be fighting. He's going to be entering in to the ones that come against His people. Let's go to Zechariah 12 and 8. Skip down to 8. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. Where are they going to get their strength? They're going to get it from God, because they're one of God's people. They are going to be old. They're going to be feeble. But they're going to be like one of the mightiest warriors that ever existed on the face of the earth. King David at his prime. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And when it will come about in that day that I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Do you think you want to be in that army that is sent over to Jerusalem to fight against Israel? I don't think so. Do you want your country to be part of that? I don't think so. Because God is going to fight against all those nations. And God is going to win. Skip down to 13, chapter 13 and verse 2. Zechariah 13 and verse 2. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. Some purging is going to be going on. As I said before, separation of the sheep from the goats, the clean from the unclean. It's going to be happening. Let's go to chapter 14 and verse 12. Now this will be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Now this is where I've said many times in the past that I believe that this is a description of atomic warfare. And I believe that we will have at least a limited atomic warfare in the future, at least one time. And I think this is describing that right here. This is a plague with which the Lord will strike all of the peoples who come against Jerusalem and God's people. And this describes what's going to happen to them. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet. And their eyes will rot in their sockets. And their tongue will rot in their mouth. Is that not incredible? And it will come about in that day that a great panic from the Lord will fall on them. And they will seize one another's hand. And the hand of one will be lifted up against the hand of another. That's letting us know God sets confusion among the armies that come up against His people. They will think they are fighting against the enemy, and they will really be killing each other. Electronics is going to go berserk. People and tanks and airplanes are going to be, in essence, going berserk, because they will be destroying their own. God will be behind this, protecting and delivering His people. I I'd like to go to 2 Peter and verse 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Are you going to know about it? Is it going to be something you'll hear about in advance? Is there going to be a lot of people not ready? Yeah, because it's going to happen as a thief comes into your home. You won't expect it. It'll be when you least expect it. You might not be prepared. Will come in like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Let's go to Malachi 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chafed. And the day is coming that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch, meaning they will be burned up. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, that's going to be going on in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's going to be why a lot of people are deceived. But while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's going to be dreadful for the ones that are found fighting against God's people. That's why this church encourages you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for God's people, His chosen nation, Israel. Pray for the land that is God's land, that He gave to His nation, Israel. Pray for the city, Jerusalem. What will others, besides all the talk of peace and safety and everything's just going great and couldn't be no better, everybody probably living a pretty good life and thereby caught unawares. What else will be going on? 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. That's why people are going to be deceived. They're going to say, everything is going just like it always has. Nothing's going to happen different. Everything's going just like it did all the way back from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nothing's going to be different. peace and safety, success, the good life. You see why so many people won't be looking for the return of Jesus Christ? They will be so caught up in their peace and safety and their materialistic living that they will be fearful of Jesus' coming. They will be dreadful of the day that their lifestyle will be interrupted. But the day of the Lord is coming. And it's going to bring in some changes. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by His word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. What about verse 8 and 9 here? What about the timing of all of this? Is there a delay, a purposeful delay in God's coming, in that great day of the Lord? But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is at 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Is all going to come to repentance? Not hardly. Few there be that will be saved. Is there anyone that's going to know the day of the Lord? Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 36. And it gives you a little bit of the relationship, the function of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Sheds a little light there. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Not even Jesus Christ knows that day and hour, but His Father does. Let's go to Mark 13 and 32. But on that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. I'd like to now go to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. That day is not only going to be a day of the separation of the tares from the wheat, in which the tares, or the leftovers you might say, the undesirables, are going to be burned up. Not only going to be a separation of the tares from the wheat and the goats from the sheep, but it's going to be a day of rewards for that which you have done in this life that you are living now. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his death, knowing that he would soon give up his life at the hands of the Romans. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, should you be looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, you should. Because it describes all who have loved his appearing as being just like the Apostle Paul in receiving rewards. Let's go to Joel 2 and verse 20. This is a dreadful day of the Lord, but as I've said before, this is a day that God's people should look forward to, not with fear and anxiousness, but with joy, as ushering in a better way, a better life, a more beautiful existence than you could ever imagine. Much, much more than the very best of the life that you have lived up to this point in time. Verse 20, but I will remove the northern army far from you. Now this is speaking of the armies that come against Jerusalem. This is speaking of that day that Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And what happens to the armies that come up against Jerusalem? But I will remove the northern army far from you, and I will drive it into a parched and desolate land, and its vanguard into the eastern sea, and its rear guard into the western sea. And its stench, smell, will arise, and its foul smell will come up, for it has done great things. This is what happens to the armies that comes up against Jerusalem. God's going to be scattering them in all directions. Let's skip down to verse 27. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. And my people will never be put to shame. God's going to be fighting for you. He will be there to deliver you. Let's go to 2 Peter in closing. 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. God has a plan. It's a great plan. It's one in which we should find joy and look forward to that day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord. If you would, stand with me in prayer.